Today, we're beginning a new preaching series where for the rest of this summer term, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, which is one of the letters, one of the books we find in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to the church family in Corinth. But today we're going to pick up how that church in Corinth started, which means rather than beginning 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're beginning in Acts 18 and verse 1. So if you'll turn to page 1114, I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and then we'll think about them a little bit more. So Acts 18, beginning at verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. I guess some of us may already have our summer holiday plans in place. Maybe you're planning to travel across the UK, or maybe into Europe, or even further afield than that. This morning, we're traveling to the Mediterranean. We're traveling to Corinth. And as some of the children will have on their picture in front of them, when we get to Corinth, we are joining Paul as he goes to those people. We're going to spend the rest of the term, as I say, looking at the letter. But today we think about how the church started. So that's Paul there on the left, arriving and meeting the people of Corinth. We see that Paul, having left Athens, he's made the 50-mile trip west to Corinth. So he's still in Greece, in this place called Corinth. And when he arrives, he meets some people who do the same job as him. I don't know if you've had that experience. You meet someone who's in the same line of work, you immediately feel like you have something in common. Well, when Paul gets to Corinth, he meets some fellow tent makers. So he spends his time working in the week, but then every Saturday, as was his custom, he would go to the synagogue. And when he gets to the synagogue, he reasons, he explains, he teaches with the Jews and the Greeks, saying, look, Jesus really is who he said he was. As we've been thinking this Easter time, remembering again, Jesus is God's King, the Christ, the Messiah, who died just as he said he would, who rose again just as he said he would, so that all who put their trust in Jesus will be assured of receiving eternal life. Paul knows that's good news for everyone in Corinth, just as it is for good news for us here today. And so as we think about Paul's time in Corinth, I want us to notice two things about the spread of the good news and the beginning of the Christian church there as it starts out. So we're going to think about this in two parts. We're going to think about our part in God's work, and secondly, looking at God's work itself. So firstly, our part in God's work is to continue to share the gospel message. Whether we're Christians here this morning or not, all of us need to get to grips with the gospel message about Jesus. Gospel just means good news. And the gospel message is good news. It's the good news that God loves us. And because he loves us, he sent Jesus to earth to die in our place and rise again, so that all who put their trust in Jesus can have eternal life. That is the good news. That is the gospel. So if you're here this morning and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian believer, can I encourage you to keep investigating the gospel message. Spend time reflecting on it, ask questions about it, and think about how you might respond to it. If you are a Christian believer this morning, well then what we're to notice is we're to do what Paul did. We are not to keep the gospel message to ourselves, but to share it with others. It's good news for them as much as it is for us. Messages, after all, they are to be delivered, aren't they? And that's what you and I, if we're Christians, are to be doing with the gospel message. When our children were younger, I watched a lot of Postman Pat. And as you may remember, Postman Pat, he had a bike, and of course he had his van as well. You may not be aware that since then, the mail service in Greendale has changed. Pat now works for the Special Delivery Service. So he gets a call on his mobile to deliver a parcel by midday. He may this now jump on his motorbike rather than his van. And he even has a helicopter to make sure he delivers things on time. Which, of course, Postman Pat, being Postman Pat, manages to do. That makes him a good postman, doesn't it? His job is to deliver, and he delivers. That's what parcels, letters, messages are for. And as we look at Paul in Corinth, we're to be reminded that that's what we're to be doing with the gospel message. See, it's not just Paul does this one time while he's in Corinth. If we read through the book of Acts, Luke records for us again and again and again, reminding us that we are to do the same. We are to adopt the same method of openly, honestly, patiently explaining the good news about Jesus to other people. And we're to be doing that wherever God puts us. But as we see from verse 6, and certainly not for the first time in the book of Acts, there's a mixed response when people hear the gospel. Paul faces some opposition to what he's saying. Some of those who listen to him become angry and abusive, and so Paul leaves and takes the message elsewhere. And that reminds us of something very important. See, Paul realizes he has a responsibility to share the message with other people. He's not to keep it to himself, but he understands that he is not responsible for their response to the message. Now, we need to remember that just as much as Paul, don't we? Because when we get the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus with someone else, and they respond with, well, apathy or indifference, maybe mockery, maybe opposition. Well, I don't know about you, but it's very easy, isn't it, to start thinking things like, well, if only I'd spoken more clearly, it might have gone better. If only I'd said that in a better way. If only I'd avoid saying that particular thing. We ask ourselves, why didn't they respond more positively? I must have done something wrong. I'll leave it to someone more qualified in the future. Ever thought those things when we talk about Jesus? When we think like that, and we all do at different times, well, what we're doing is we're thinking we're responsible for their response. But we're not. We are, of course, to seek to be winsome and open and honest and patient and gentle as we speak. But you and I are not responsible for people's response. And when we get to thinking that it depends on us, well, that is a crushing burden we're not designed to carry. Please don't mishear me. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about how people respond, not at all. But we need to remember we are not responsible for their response. It is a great trick of the evil one to convince Christians that we're ultimately responsible. Because what it does is it shuts us up. I'm sure this has put off many a Christian believer. But Paul, having received that less than helpful response, he doesn't stop there. Did you notice what he does next? He simply goes next door. He realizes he's clear of his responsibility in the synagogue, but that opposition doesn't mean that he quits. He moves to the house next door. What does he do? Well, he continues to share the same gospel message there as well. Well, we might think that's not very tactful, maybe. But notice in verse 8 what it leads to. The synagogue ruler being saved, Crispus and all his family, and many other Corinthians as well. They hear the good news about Jesus, and they put their trust in him. See, the gospel message continues to save people. And that brings us to our second point this morning. God's work. We've seen our part, what it is and what it isn't. Let's now consider God's part. He's the one who saves people through hearing the gospel message. I wonder if you notice there's a bit of a surprise. It's there in verse 9. Paul is scared. It's why he's told not to be afraid, because he is afraid. Now that can come as a bit of a surprise to us, can't it? Because when we think about the Apostle Paul, we see what he does, we see what he says, we see how he acts. We think, well, he's so bold, so courageous, so confident. He's some sort of super apostle. He's fearless. Paul's amazing. I'm nothing like Paul. But in verse 9, we realize we're more like Paul than we think. Because here in Corinth is a Christian man with a regular job making tents who gets scared when people oppose the message about Jesus. It's why when we get there in a few weeks' time in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, I came to you in weakness and fear, with much trembling. How then is it that Paul keeps going? And why should we keep going if we face rejection or opposition? Well, because like Paul, we need to remember that God is still at work saving people. And he does that through them hearing the gospel message from ordinary people like you and me and Paul. You see, the thing which encourages Paul to stay another 18 months and continue to share the gospel message is what he is told in verses 9 to 11. God gives Paul promises and commands to spur him on, to encourage him to keep going. So we see that in those verses where God says two things. He says, look, don't be afraid, Paul. Why? Because I am with you. And don't be silent, Paul. Why? Because there's many more in this city that I want to save. You see, that fear that Paul was feeling, that could be quite off-putting, couldn't it? The rejection he faced could shut him up for good. If he thinks he's on his own in this venture. But he's reminded very clearly that as he continues to speak about Jesus, God is with him. Don't be afraid, I'm with you, says God. It's the same promise the Lord Jesus makes to all his followers before he returns to heaven. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. But not only that, keep speaking, Paul. Don't be silent. Why? Because I have many people in the city of Corinth whom I want to save. That's why Paul's told to keep speaking, to not be silent. Because there are other people living in Corinth who have yet to hear about the Lord Jesus. But when they do hear about the Lord Jesus, they will put their trust in him and be saved. And God's chosen means of doing this hasn't changed. Paul is to continue to tell them how much God loves them and how they can be saved through trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. So Paul, don't be quiet, keep speaking. When I was a younger man, I took up fly fishing for a few months. A chap I worked with was really into it, so I thought I'd give it a go. So we'd make our own flies during the week and then on the weekend head off to a lake. And I remember one time I was directed to the beginner's pond, which was entirely appropriate. It was just a small pond. And as I arrived, there was a man already there with a bucket. And he was pouring the contents of the bucket into the lake, into the pond. It was a bucket full of trout. So as I got my rod ready, I was pretty confident I would catch something that day. I knew there were fish in the pond. I'd seen them go in. So it was guaranteed. And I had my most successful fly fishing day ever that day. But you see, as Paul is sat there trembling in Corinth, God says, look, keep speaking, Paul. Don't be afraid, because in that very city, there are people whom I will save when they hear about the Lord Jesus. So Paul doesn't conclude he had no further part to play. Rather, he ends up staying another 18 months. In order that through his speaking about Jesus, people would get to hear. And when those people hear and when they trust, well, they're guaranteed forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. So Paul gets that it's his job to tell people. That is his responsibility, to be honest, to be open, to be patient. But he's also reassured that God is with him and reminded that God's purpose is still to save people. And friends, God's purpose and plan hasn't changed to this day. He's going to continue to save people, not just in Corinth, but in Arborfield, in Barkham, in Wokingham, in Eversley, in Finchampstead, in Reading. And his means of doing that is through people hearing the gospel message. I wonder if we've realized that about the situations that God puts us in. We might know of only one or two other believers near where we live or work or study. We might not know of any. And yet it may be that God has people there in that place. We don't know who they are, so we look to share Jesus with people as we get the opportunity, because we know there are people who will listen to us about Jesus. Not because we're good at it, but because God has been at work in them. God is still in the business of saving people through the hearing of the gospel message. And we are to be the means by which people hear. So as we persevere in doing our part, God does his work and brings people to respond. Yes, it can be scary, of course it can. But let's not lose sight of the privilege. God chooses to use puny people like you and me and Paul as the means of sharing the good news about Jesus with others. Jesus is not someone we just sing about on a Sunday, but we look to share with others Monday through Saturday. That's how the church in Corinth began, and that's how the church continues to grow globally today. I think that's all I want to say on Acts 18. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing a song that reminds us of just how good the good news is, how we're saved not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's bow our heads and I'll lead us in a short prayer. Do not be afraid, Paul. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, because I have many people in this city. Father God, thank you that we're reminded this morning that you are the God who loves people and loves to save people through them hearing about your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please, with the help of your Holy Spirit, would you give us opportunity to speak of him? By your Spirit, would you give us the right words to say? But by your Spirit, would we also continue to trust in you for that saving? Thank you that the Lord Jesus is good news. Thank you that around the world people are hearing and believing and being saved. And we thank you for the privilege that we get to be a part of your work here on earth. Amen.